Well, good morning, everyone. Great to be together again, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I always love these kind of first Sundays back after a bit of a break, be it the summer or Easter or Christmas, obviously, as it's been this time. There seems just to be a bit of a buzz when we come back together and gather and worship him. And I really sense that this morning. Great time. Thank you to the band who just led us into his presence this morning. Thanks, guys. That was really, really special. It's an opportunity on the first Sunday of the year just to share a little bit of heart, a little bit of vision. We're not in a teaching series at the moment, and so I want to preach much more than I teach this morning. I've got a... I've had an amen from the front, that's good. We have a bit of an opportunity, and I'm really grateful to the leadership team just for giving me this opportunity at the beginning of this year, just to have a bit of a free brief this morning, just to seek God a little bit for what he might want to say to us at the start of this year. So you're not going to get so much a kind of Bible-based teach this morning. You're going to get more heart. I hope I'm not setting myself up for a fail here, but hopefully you're going to feel inspired this morning as I just share a little bit about what we as a team feel that God is leading us into this year. I think God was trying to get my attention over Christmas. It was always going to be a bit of a tough one, being the first Christmas without Dad with us. And I was definitely carrying a bit of tension around that. I realised that more and more as the Christmas period went on. I cut my hand quite badly as well just before Christmas and needed stitches. And so I was trying to open some packaging. It was really silly. But I wasn't able to do some things that I was going to do. And so I was a little bit frustrated about that. And if I'm honest, I was carrying a bit of stress, I think, going into the Christmas period. A lot was going on, family stuff, busyness around family stuff, lots going on, lots of great stuff going on in the hub, but really busy. And I was really looking forward to just a relaxed time over Christmas. But isn't it funny how we picture these amazing, relaxed periods of time? And we build it up in our mind to something that's just going to be really chilled. And it's just going to be lovely. We're going to be sitting around the fire and laughing as we open gifts with each other. And yes, there's a little bit of that, but it just becomes really stressed, doesn't it? And we felt a little bit about that. The time when we come to slow down and relax so often ends up being busy, stressful, with high expectations about the best presents, about the best food, about the best time together. And somehow we never quite manage to get to that point where we built it up in our minds. Isn't it funny how we seem to pin everything on this once a year kind of supercharged few days of brilliance and end up coming back in the new year feeling pretty exhausted by it all? Life's so busy these days. And we crave these times to relax, but end up putting a lot of pressure on them so they become anything but simple and relaxed. And to be honest, Tracy and I really felt that this year, and that struck us in a bit of a new way this year. And we ended up doing a little bit of soul searching together, trying to live up to these family expectations, trying to see so many people in such a short period of time, waking up each morning over the Christmas period feeling pretty exhausted from the day before and a little bit daunted about the day to come. Getting maybe even a little bit short and snappy with each other at times.
Never.
It does sometimes happen. And somehow just wishing it was all just a little bit more simple and a little bit more Christ-focused. And in this little bit of soul searching that we feel we've done together, Tracy and I, over Christmas, we really feel a sense for us as a family that he's calling us into him more and more, calling us into his presence, calling us into time with him. At the start of the autumn term last year, I shared with the leadership team a real nagging feeling that I had, which I was pretty sure was from God, that as leaders and as a church together, we needed to spend more time in his presence in 2020. To say I was becoming disillusioned would be too strong, but there was a sense of the hectic pace of life, and particularly the hectic pace of church life. It just didn't seem quite right. And don't get me wrong, I'm committed to hard work. I'm quite an activist. I'm really task-oriented. I love to get on with stuff. I love to achieve stuff. I love to do stuff. But in the 3 or 4 years that I've been involved in senior church leadership, I've come to understand pretty quickly that being too busy isn't good. If I'm too busy to pray, then I'm busier than God wants me to be. That's true, isn't it? Thank you, Chris. Let me find where I was. A few years ago, I had a great prophetic word from Phil Thomas. And it really fits in with what Delia shared this morning, so I'm really encouraged by that. But Phil had this word for me that it would be all too easy for me to focus on all the things that need doing, all the things that are right in front of me, all the things that are demanding my time. And that would get me really busy. But actually what God wanted me to do was to lift my eyes a little bit, to look a bit further, to look a bit further into what he was saying and what he was calling us, me individually and us as a church, to do. And I do get a bit concerned when I feel like I'm just focusing in on all the stuff that needs doing and all the things right in front of me. And it's so important for us all to take time out to look at the bigger picture. As Delia encouraged us this morning, let's reach up. Let's not just look at the stuff down here. Let's reach up, let's jump up and see what God has for us. Over the last few months, God's reminded me of Marion Hayes' word that she gave to us 2 years ago as we began the Hub Church. That there was things that God wanted to do in us before he provided a new building for us. That somehow he wanted to mold us into the people that he wanted us to be, and then he'd provide the building to fit that. And God's laid that on my heart again recently. Lord, would you make us into the people you want us to be in 2020? Similar words have come, and just even over the last few months, few people have come up to me and said, I think there's more that God wants to do in us before he's going to provide a building. I think we've seen part of what God is doing in us, but I, for one, want to see more of that in 2020. I've mentioned the building, so let me just take a few moments just to talk about that very briefly. I think we're pretty united in wanting a new building for the Hub. I think we recognise the limitations of meeting in a place like this, where we only have it for one morning a week. To be able to have a building where we could serve a community, bless a community, serve God 7 days a week would be a real blessing. There is a piece of land that's foremost in our thinking at the moment. It is our number one option we're looking at. There's plenty of stuff going on behind the scenes to see if we can make something like that happen. That piece of land's in Winkelbury near the new Aldi store that's just opened. And we may need to make a decision reasonably soon about whether we look to buy that piece of land. It's owned by the county council at the moment. And so we are looking to invite you all to an evening where we're going to share where we've got up to and invite you into the process and help in that decision-making process. But whatever we do, whether we buy a piece of land and build a kind of purpose-built building on that, or whether we buy a building that's already there, whatever we do, it's going to be costly. And it is going to be costly financially, but it's also going to be costly, I believe, in us being willing to become the people that God wants us to be. I think we're going to have to go through a bit of change in order to have what is a bit of a different vision to what we've had in the past. And so if we do get a new building, and it won't be months, guys, it's going to be years, but if we do get a new building, then I really believe that God will mold us into the people he wants us to be, will change us to be a people that can use a new mission base in a way to really reach out to a community and reach out to a town to see real transformation. We don't just want a Sunday venue. We want to see a community and we want to see a town transformed with the gospel. Amen? You know, we'll be going to them. We'll be going to a community. We won't just be expecting a community to come to us. We'll have to love people when they stand really opposed to what we stand for and what we believe in. We'll be crying with people who have been really hurt, rightly or wrongly, by the church in the past, I'm sure. And we'll be showing love to people who really believe different things to us. Whatever they say to us, whatever they throw at us, we'll be there to be a light in whatever community God places us in. And we'll stand with people, whatever choices they make. Yes, we'll hold on to what we believe. Yes, we won't compromise what we put our faith in and who we put our faith in. But we will need to become people who will love those around us, whatever life choices they make. I met a guy called Adam Dyer recently who leads a big church in Yeovil. And they're much further down the line than we are in terms of a building. They've got their own building. They do lots of stuff from that building. The council trust them as really good practitioners to be able to deliver a lot of the things that the council want to deliver. They've got a lot of projects that they're running on behalf of the council, and it's so inspiring to hear much of what they are doing. Adam visited us in Basingstoke a few months ago, and one thing he said, if you want to embark on a project like this, if you want to embark on a project where you're reaching out and blessing a community, then you need to know that the biggest change you'll see will not happen in the council. The biggest change you'll see won't happen in the community you're serving. The biggest change you'll see will happen in the church. Because God will change you into the kind of people he wants you to be in order to reach a community. Sounds a bit like Marion's word. Sounds a bit like the words we've been hearing over recent months. So this morning, I want to invite you into a season. I want to invite you to join us for a season of becoming the kind of people that God wants us to be. God has definitely started us on that journey. I believe there's more to come. I want to invite you into a season of prayer and a season of seeking him to allow us to be changed individually, but as a church together as well. We're giving myself, we're giving the leaders, we're giving all of us together as church, just a freedom and an opportunity to seek God more in this season. And I'm using this word season quite intentionally because I think when we go into a time like this where we say we're going to seek God and we're going to pray and we're going to allow him to change us, then I'm a bit nervous about putting time constraints on that because I feel like God will do it as God wants to do it and he'll do it in his timing and we need to be open to allow him to do that as quickly or as slowly as he wants to do it. I've been challenged again by Acts chapter 6. And in Acts 6, we read about how the apostles became aware of an issue with the distribution of food. And rather than give up their tasks or to give up the things that God had said for them to do, they appointed 7 men to oversee the distribution of food because they said that the important things that we're called to do is prayer and the ministry of the word. That's what it says there in Acts chapter 6. And I get a bit nervous, like I say. I feel a little bit uncomfortable when I feel like I'm not getting enough time in the word. I get a little bit uncomfortable when I feel like I'm not getting enough time in prayer. Because I think for all of us, but particularly for us as leaders, it's really, really vital that we're spending plenty of time with the Lord, plenty of time in prayer, plenty of time in the word. We're intentionally not putting on quite as much in this season as we have maybe in seasons gone by recently because we want to take a bit of time out to allow us all to spend some time with God, to allow us to be changed, to allow him to speak to us and say whatever he wants to. Let's not focus so much, and I'm saying this to myself and I'm saying this to leaders and I'm saying this to us all, let's not focus too much on the things right in front of us that shout the loudest and demand our time. Let's focus on the bigger picture of what God is doing and how he wants to change us and what he wants to do in us. So my commitment to you this season is I will pray more. I will spend more time in God's presence. I'm going to spend more time in the Word of God. That's my commitment to you this season. I'd love to invite you all to join us on that. As a leadership team, we've decided that we are going to do that. We're so often faced with a long agenda when we meet. And there's stuff to do, and there's still stuff to do. We're not going to stop doing stuff that needs doing. But we are going to take more time as a team to pray in this season, to seek God and to see what he would say to us and see what he wants to do with us. So you may be thinking, well, Andy, you're inviting us into this season to pray more, to seek God more. Well, where do I start? I just want to invite you to read a book. And it's this book here called How to Pray by Pete Gregg. I've just finished reading this over the Christmas period, and I'm a little bit embarrassed to say how much I've learnt. Because I've learnt a huge amount about prayer and spending time in God's presence through reading this book. It says on the front that it's a simple guide for normal people, so it worked for me. And I really believe it could work for a number of us. It's so easy to read, so accessible, and it's really practical. And if your prayer life's made up of kind of short, dull, shopping list style prayer requests, then reading a book like this can really help you to discover more of God. It's not like a golden ticket to anything, but it'll really help you to structure your prayer times and your time with the Lord, and he will really change you, I believe, through it. In my teens, I was done a little bit over the Christmas period just reflecting back to my teens, because when I was kind of 14, 15, 16, down in Southampton, I was part of a youth church called Sublime, and that church was birthed out of a number of us young people just getting together and praying. And it was so special, guys, because we'd just gather just in a home and we'd just start to pray together. And there was nothing more complicated than that. But God was with us. And they are still the most exciting, the most life-giving prayer times I've ever had. I remember just sitting in his presence at times, just weeping as God just revealed himself and filled me with his spirit in a way that was just so special. I remember one time we were praying, and as we prayed, I felt this tingling around my lips, and I had no idea what it was, but it felt incredible. And I went to our youth leader afterwards and said, look, as we were praying, I just felt this tingling happen on my lips. And he said, well, I think God's anointing your lips. I think God wants you to share his word with people. I believe that God wants you to speak and encourage others. And so he's anointing your lips for you to do that. How special is that? And I look back, I've always remembered, I can almost feel that sensation and remember that sensation of that tingling on my lips as God just touched me and did something in me. And it was happening to loads of us, and God was with us. They were special times of prayer together. And I am a little bit ashamed to say that somewhere along the line, things have got a lot more mundane than that. Things have probably got a bit more religious than that. And so I guess this is me repenting of that and saying, I want to enter into a season where I see God just do some incredible stuff in me and in us as a church as we seek God and as we pray together. Because I believe that that is open to us. I understand there's seasons for these things, and I understand that God does amazing things at certain times with groups of people. But I do believe there's something of an open door that was shared as we were praying this morning. An open door into a season of real life-giving prayer that for me and maybe some others, if you identify with that as well, feel like, hey, we desperately need that. And I believe that as we do that, God will change us, transform us into the people that we need to be in 2020, the kind of people we need to be to see our vision outworked in the communities where he's placed us. Let me read you just a little few lines from this book, How to Pray, Pete Gregg's book. This little bit that I'm about to read you just actually made me cry as I read it first time, because it just touched something in me that, yes, Lord, I want something of this. It says this: in a quiet Umbrian town many years ago, a wealthy lawyer heard reports of a 25-year-old ex-soldier called Giovanni who had recently given everything he owned to the poor. Was he mad, or had he experienced some kind of epiphany? Everyone in the town had their own opinion. Determining to find out for himself, Bernard of Quinterville invited Giovanni to stay the night and stationed himself to spy on his guests through a secret peephole. As the house fell silent, he watched in amazement as Giovanni sprang from his bed, knelt down, and began to repeat a single simple phrase again and again. My God and my all. My God and my all. Tears ran down his cheeks. My God and my all. Bernard of Quinterville was so inspired by Giovanni's self-evident, all-consuming love for the Lord that he followed his example, gave away his wealth, and became the young man's first disciple. Within a year, there were 11 of them. Within a decade, there were more than 5,000. And within 20 years, the course of European history had been aligned by the joyous life and simple teaching of Francis of Assisi, as Giovanni is better known today. Isn't that inspiring? To spend all night in prayer repeating just one simple phrase and that being enough for an incredible encounter with God. Don't you long for that kind of connection with God? I believe it only comes from a life of surrender and a life of prayer. And if that kind of life is out there, and I believe it is, then I really want that, guys. I really want a life like that. Of life-giving, incredible encounters with God as I just simply pour out my life before him. I think it's something of what the Apostle Paul describes when he writes in Philippians chapter 3. And he says this, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participating in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul was a man who was so close to God. And his cry was, I want to know him. And if that's your cry today at the start of 2020, then let's enter into a season of communion with him, of getting to know him, of connection with him. So just six simple things that you can do. If you're inspired by this, if you want to do this, if you want to join us in 2020, going deeper and getting into God more and more, then here's six things we can do. Number one, get inspired about prayer. If you want to read Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, then grab a copy and read it. It's so easy to read. It won't take long. It'll be a blessing to you, I'm sure. If you know another book, maybe you read a book previously, years ago, and you think, actually, that's a book I need to read again on prayer and get me inspired about getting into God's presence again, then read that again. If you've been recommended a different one, read a different one, that's fine. If you want to get hold of Pete's book and you can't afford it, if it's going to put you into debt, if it's going to become an issue for you, just come and see us. If everyone comes and sees us, well, we'll have to work out how we're going to do it. But if that's you and you would just be blessed by that, then we'd love to see how we can help you get hold of a copy. If you can afford it, why don't you buy two? Keep one for yourself, read it, hand the other one to us, and we'll hand it on to someone who needs a copy. But let's get inspired about prayer. Let's read or listen to someone who's walked this path, who has this connection to God, and see if it can inspire us to do the same. So get inspired about prayer. Secondly, what needs to change in your life? If you're going to carve out some time, then you may have to stop doing something else. You may have to get up a little bit early. You may have to go to bed a little bit later. You may have to go for a walk in your lunch hour and spend some time with the Lord. It will look different for each of us. But I'd encourage you this week, why don't you just spend some time with God and ask him, Lord, what should I lay down in order to free up some time? What do you want me to do in this season to spend more time with you? Thirdly, join me if you'd like to, 7 a.m. I thought I'd get a reaction to that. But 7 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. In the past, I've been just praying at Sarum Hill Centre, and a few have joined me, and it's been great. We started it off because we were praying for for the sale of the buildings, and it's waned a little bit, but I want to start it up again. And I feel like I'm in a season of learning as well. And so I want to learn how to get into his presence more. And if you want to join me doing that, then 7 o'clock in the morning, each Tuesday morning, Sarum Hill Centre, come and join me and we'll work it out together. If I'm there on my own, then that's fine. But if there's others that want to come and join me, you are invited. Let's just see what God would do with us as we gather to pray. I understand that for some of you, that's just impossible to make that time. So I get that. But it might be something, if you're inspired to come and do that, it might be something where you need to say, actually, I need to change something in order to make that work. But I'll leave that with you if you feel a prompting from the Lord about that. Number four, we have a monthly prayer evening, 7:45 p.m. on Tuesday evenings, the first Tuesday of each month. We gather to pray. There's a number of really faithful people that come each time and pray. Can I encourage us as a church to make that a priority for these next months? The first one's this coming Tuesday. I'm leading this one. And I want to just get us into prayer and get us seeking God. We want to make it a time of just encountering God. And there's something that happens when we come together as a group of people, as a church, when we intercede and when we call on God, that I think just goes a little bit beyond what happens in our quiet times on our own. I think it's just slightly different. I think there's more stuff that happens when we come together and really call on God together. So can I encourage you, if you can possibly make that, to make those evenings a priority? They're in the notices and they're put up on Facebook before they happen as well. Number five, engage with our teaching series this term. We're going to start a series on prayer. And it's going to be 5 sessions. It's going to start in February. And I'd really encourage you to engage with that. My appeal to those who are going to be delivering those sessions from the front here is let's make it an inspiring time. Let's encourage us all to pray. Let's build in testimony from those within the church here who have seen answer to prayer. Let's be real when we've prayed and it hasn't quite happened as we've wanted it to. Let's encourage each other to keep praying. Let's encourage each other to come together and pray together. So engage with our teaching series when we start that up in February on prayer. And then finally, number six, encourage each other. If you want to enter into this season of prayer, then why don't you tell someone else that you're going to do it? Why don't you ask them to pray for you that you'd really encounter God in this season? Why don't you join with one or two others and begin to pray together? Maybe you'd find it helpful to have a little bit of accountability with someone else. Maybe you want to say to someone, hey, could you just ask me how I'm doing? Because that would really encourage me. As long as it doesn't get heavy, as long as it doesn't get religious, a little bit of accountability can sometimes help us. And if that would help you, why don't you ask someone about that? Just before I finish, let me just quickly outline what's happening this month. I've talked about our series on prayer starting in February, but what's happening this month? Well, next Sunday, the 12th of January, we are at Hatchwarren Community Centre at 10:30 for our brunch. And so I'd encourage you to come along to that if you can make that next week. It's so good to come together and it's so good to be with each other, to get to know each other, to eat with each other. These are all really biblical things that are really good to do. So let's celebrate those. Big thumbs up to all those things. But our real heart with the brunch is that we'd be able to invite people who may find it difficult to connect with church on a Sunday in a setting like this. If you know someone that may come to a brunch but may find it a bit more difficult here, we've had people who've started coming to the brunch and now come regularly on Sundays. And so if you can think of someone who you can invite, why don't you invite them to the brunch next Sunday? So we're not meeting here, we're meeting at Hatchwarren Community Centre. We have had a few issues here with the availability of Apollo in January, so we have had to be a little bit creative. So 19th, the week after, 2 weeks today, we're back here as normal, 10:30, and we've got a time of prayer and testimony together, all ages together, probably about an hour or so meeting. And we are going to pray together. We're going to have people from different generations praying from the front. We're going to have testimony. We had a couple of words recently from two different people about the same kind of time that said, hey, let's look back and celebrate what God's done in the first 2 years of the Hub. Yes, we're doing a lot of looking forward, but I believe that God wants us to look back and celebrate what he's done already. So we're going to do that on the 19th of January. So if you have got a story, if you've got a testimony of something that God has done in and through the Hub in these last 2 years, could I ask you just to be brave and come and find one of us and say, hey, I could share something on the 19th. It can be really short. You don't have to be a good public speaker. Just come. We'll all be behind you and we'll all cheer you on. Come and share something of what God has done. And let's have a real morning of celebrating, praying and worshipping together on the 19th. And then finally, on the 26th of January, we don't have the Apollo again, so no morning meeting here on the 26th. We're going to have a baptism instead, Sarum Hill Centre, 2 p.m. Come along and celebrate that with us if you're free. We've got at least two people getting baptised. If you haven't got baptised, then haven't got baptised yet, come and speak to us, because there's an opportunity for more on the 26th of January. And we really want to celebrate that together. We had four baptisms last year, four baptism events with a number of people at those events getting baptized. So it was a real celebration of baptism last year. So if you want to get baptized, come and speak to us. So not meeting here next week on the 12th, not meeting here on the 26th. And those are the details of what we are doing. Finally, just as I finish, let me just mention about Alpha. We've got Alpha, so there's a little whoop there. Meg, well done. Alpha starts on the 15th of January. I know I said we're taking a bit of time out. We're not doing so much this season, but we are doing Alpha. We believe this is something that God's really called us to. We haven't lost our heart for the lost. We're not going to lose our heart for the lost. In many ways, if we spend more time in his presence, that's only going to increase. But could I encourage you, if you've been praying for some people or someone to come on Alpha, then God's gone before you and he's done some work in them. So why not pluck up just a little bit of courage and invite them along to that Alpha guest supper on the Wednesday the 15th of January, Weybrook Park Golf Club. We had loads of people go through Alpha last year and we'd love to see loads of people go through Alpha again this year. Just looking out, I can see a number of people that came through Alpha and have joined the church since, and that's just fantastic. So, guys, let's go for it this year. Let's press into God. Let's get into his presence. Let's allow him to change us individually and as a church into the kind of people, the kind of person he wants us to be. Let's keep reaching out to the lost. Let's use Alpha as a great vehicle to see people come to faith. And I believe that God will do a lot in us. So let's go for it. Amen.